Hey, everybody, and welcome to the 9 Leaders podcast. Oh, my goodness. I am so excited to actually be with you guys again. I have been in so many places, two places. I've been in Alabama and I've been in Tennessee for the last month. So for you guys, you've continued to get almost all of the content that I promised you. So that's exciting. Couple things that we didn't get to. We didn't do Q&A for either threes or fours because no one wrote in any questions. So I didn't have any Q's to A. My lovely, beautiful, wonderful, sweet grandmother assures me that it's because I said everything that needed to be said. No one had any questions. So we'll just assume that that is is the case. And then we didn't do the 4 interview because the person that I had for the 4 interview fell through. But don't you guys worry. We have a backup. So there's going to be a 4 interview coming up sometime shortly. And then also with the 1, we're going to jump back to the 1 and I'm going to find somebody to interview for that. I've already been talking to that individual. I don't have anything set in stone yet. But we will have a 1 interview and then hopefully we'll find somebody to pop in and do a 2 interview. We kind of already got the 2 interview because Kels was in the Q&A section, but it still would be nice to get somebody in there on that. But that is why we didn't get those. And then today's episode, which is the 5s in relationship with the anger triad, was supposed to come out Friday, and for some reason my math didn't line up, and so Friday was episode-less, so I apologize for that, but you've got this one. So we are in the 5 series, and so some of you might have questions about 5s, and if you do, send them to any of these places. You can send them to me on Instagram. You can send them to me on Facebook. You can email me at wade@9leaders.com, or I think this is still going on, but there should be a link in the podcast description where you can go and leave me a voicemail. You can ask your questions there, and that would be neat. All those places. And then when we do the Q&A, we'll do it live, so you can ask questions there as well. But again, if I don't get any questions, we won't end up doing the Q&A, so don't hold out too long hoping to be able to ask yours live if you want to make sure that it gets answered. What else is going on? 5s, we have an interview for 5s, theoretically. So if that goes well and as planned, that will be just the best. And then lastly, Instagram. I thought I was going to be able to post the whole time I was gone. And we were in spotty cell service. And also I was on vacation. And so I didn't a lot. But I'll get those caught up here shortly. So there might be a bit of a... One of two things is going to happen. There's going to be a bunch of posts on Instagram all at once, or it's going to take a little bit for Instagram to catch up with the podcast, but that's not a huge deal. Okay, that's enough housekeeping. You guys are probably tired of me talking about that. So let's jump right into the 5s in relationships with the anger triad. So we are on our 5th number, which is actually not because we started with 8 and 9. So we're a lot of numbers in, and I can't do math right now. So we're a lot of numbers in, but I say this at the beginning of every relationship episode. So if you've been listening the whole time, you know exactly what I'm about to say. There is no such thing as an inherently bad pairing. Any number can work well with any other number, and any number can work poorly with any other number. As long as everybody is intentionally looking at themselves and maintaining a level of humility and self-awareness and a level of mutual admiration of one another, any relationship can work no matter what the two types are. So as I go through and I talk about the positives and the negatives of each relationship type with the 5, I don't want anybody to think, oh man, 5s and 9s should never be in a relationship, or 5s and 8s should never be in a relationship, and then go make some foolish decision based purely off of personality types, or even worse, based off of your knowledge of your personality type and your judgment or assessment of somebody else's personality type. That's just not a good idea. So don't go making any rash decisions, and remember, any relationship can work as long as everybody is paying attention and being self-aware and respecting one another. So the anger triad. If you've been listening all the way through, you probably already have a pretty decent understanding of the anger triad. But if not, here's a quick review. So the anger triad is known as the body triad or the kinesthetic triad. They're driven by anger. They're kind of pushed by this force of anger. 8s do that actively and outwardly. 1s are inward and passive with it. And 9s are asleep to it. All of the types in the anger triad are very in tune with their bodies and are often a pretty major presence in a room. They take in information by doing, and in the larger diagram of the Enneagram, the anger triad represents the active force. So Talk about fives and nines. This can be respective and restorative or lackluster and irrelevant. Fives share a nine with, fives share this need for freedom and solitude with nines. Nines are the peacemaker. So unlike fours, fives are not really as likely to seek companionship. A nine and a five will give each other the freedom that each one desires. So both types are intellectual, and the five will really enjoy solving the nine. The five is also going to really be helpful to the nine in articulating what they are experiencing. Nines often kind of feel this miasma of emotion, but nothing's really clear or focused. And a healthy five can kind of help draw things into focus for a nine. And the nine will enjoy kind of being looked at and solved and questioned and asked things, and the five will enjoy sort of the process of solving the nine. Nines can help fives to feel safe to connect emotionally. Nines' easygoing nature will allow fives to sort of come and go as they please, connecting when they're around and not putting too much pressure on them when they're not. So this amount of freedom can help fives to become stronger and more secure as they move towards that eight space in health. Nines will also make fives feel heard. As they learn and collect information, having somebody to share that information with will be a really great connecting point for both the five and the nine. And the nine legitimately will enjoy hearing about the things that the five's been investigating, the things that the five's been learning. Five's ability to strategize and plan will help the nine to feel more comfortable as they enact those plans as they move towards their health point of three. So one of the biggest problems with this relationship would be actually getting it going and off the ground in the first place. Both types are so incredibly withdrawn that they may not even be aware that the other person would make an excellent friend or romantic partner or business partner. Fives want space, and they're often kind of unaware of that desire to connect with other people, and nines are happy to allow people their space. Both become really focused on their solitude and neglect their need for one another. So this can become a problem in an established relationship, and as the stress reaction of both is to just shut down, it becomes a very quiet and passive relationship. Both types are apt to allow the other to withdraw until the relationship is functionally over and neither party is even noticed. Stressed fives will move towards seven, becoming even more erratic, which can cause fear in the nine, pushing them towards six as they try to find and establish their own sense of security. So let's talk about fives and eights. This can be subtle and powerful or really triggering and abandoning. Fives are extremely cerebral and they live in their heads and they take a sense of pride in their lack of physical needs. Eights, who are known as the challenger, they're a lot more in their body and in their head, and they kind of pride themselves on their earthly achievements, similar to a three. So their house, their car, their sexual and professional conquests. So there's kind of this polarity between the two. So as we've seen with other numbers, these opposites can really be helpful to each other. A healthy eight can help a five find their way out of their head and into their body and kind of push them towards looking at some of those more earthy aspects, which actually draws the five more into their eight space. Fives are so in their head that they can completely disconnect from the real world, living entirely in their own thoughts and in their own plans. This can cause no real-world transformation coming from their brilliant ideas and ways of thinking. And eights help draw them out and connect the five's brain to their body and to the real world, pushing them again towards that health point of eight. So on the other hand, eights can be really irrational and impulsive. Oftentimes, eights act before they think, and the outcome isn't what they wanted or what they intended. And we've talked about how eights have that really deep compassion, but they have some struggle putting it out there and allowing people to see it. Fives can help eights to sort of slow down and look at all the different subtleties and possibilities in their actions as they move towards that compassionate health place of two. So this can help the eight be less compulsive, to formulate a plan, to execute it, and to gain the results that they really wanted in the first place. And this dynamic of the eight helping the five to put their thoughts and ideas into reality, and the five helping the eight to execute those plans based on those thoughts with a finesse and an intelligence, makes for a really powerful combination. Unfortunately, at lower levels of health, those differences can become problematic. Fives and their intellectual superiority might start to regard impulsive eights with this level of disdain and even pity. Eights who have a strong desire to make their mark on the world might view fives' lack of physical need as weakness, as laziness, which will cause the eight to sort of feel some contempt for the five. As the two become more and more unhealthy, the five begins to isolate more, fearing the eight's impulsivity and irrationality. Fives feel safest when they're alone. So this triggers the eight sphere of losing control and may cause them to lash out at the five for being secretive, which will only cause the five to withdraw even more. So this can kind of become a cycle of the eight triggering the five to withdraw, and then the five withdraws, which triggers the eight to lash out, which triggers the five to withdraw, which triggers the eight to lash out, on and on and on. So eventually the eight will start to withdraw themselves as they start moving towards that unhealthy space of five. They sort of start to withdraw and shut down. And if the five is really anxious to sort of get that relationship back in a healthy spot, they might to become sort of more erratic and unfocused as they move towards that unhealthy space of seven, as the eight's own withdrawing has sort of started to stress them out and press against their own insecurities and their own fears. So fives and ones. This can be formal and stimulating or impersonal and analytic. Both fives and ones, the perfectionist, are really cerebral. They're both really in their heads. Ones are obviously part of the body triad, so they're more in their body than they are in their head, but they are very much in their head. Both tend to forego feelings and emotions, instead opting to apply cold logic and thought to all things. You know, we've seen fives do this because they just think it's the best way to be objective and to get things done the right way. Ones tend to do this because sometimes they feel like feeling and emotion might actually push them to doing something that's less moral and less perfect. They don't trust those things as much in their decision making. So one might think that pairing these two together would be really kind of dull, but they tend to invigorate one another. They both approach the world mentally, seeking to understand their surroundings. Ones in order to perfect or to discover the right way of doing things, and fives to sort of assuage their fear of the unknown. As a result, each finds the other one mentally stimulating. They'll have deep discussions about wide ranges of subjects, stoking curiosity and wonder in each other. Both are really respectful of the other's boundaries and will approach the relationship with a respectful formality. Similar to like a 1-4 relationship, ones are able to help the fours take their ideas out of concept and into reality. Fives can get really stuck in their head, and the ones help them put legs on their ideas, similar to the eight relationship. And this kind of pushes the fives towards that healthy point of eight as they see more success in giving life to their ideas, and the encouragement that they get from the one and the pushing that they can kind of get from that motivating energy, that motivating factor that the ones bring to the table, pushes them out of their heads and into the real world as they move towards eight. So what fives can do for ones is they can really help ones to learn to question their moral beliefs about right and wrong. Fives have this ability to see things in stark clarity, and that allows them to see the flaws in one's black and white logic. In health, this can be really helpful to a one, and the one, if they're in good space, can really appreciate that. And that can kind of help them to release some of their more rigid beliefs and ideas, loosening them up, and as they start to loose up and let go of some of those more stiff and rigid ideas, they start moving towards their own health point of seven as they sort of relax and unwind a little bit. So people outside this relationship might view it as kind of cold and impersonal, relying far too much on data and objectivity than feelings and emotions, as neither type is naturally interested in such things. But these two work really well together in healthy space. So pairing's mental clarity and cerebral nature is their strength, but it's also a source of some of their biggest issues. Ones have this desperate desire for objectivity and truth, for an objective right or wrong to live their lives by, and this can often point them to a sort of unhealthy fundamentalism, where they're no longer applying their mental ability to question and build ideas and beliefs, but to defend the ones that they already hold. So on the other hand, fives have this curiosity and questioning, and that kind of tends to lead them to refuse to believe in an absolute truth, and leaves them to be really fluid and creative in what they think and what they believe, and can kind of push them towards this creative nihilism. They tend to enjoy poking holes in traditional beliefs and pointing out flaws in systems, and this can really quickly push back against that one's sense of morality that they're trying to defend. Fives are well thought out, and they're well organized in their argument against these fundamentally held beliefs, which can trigger really big anger reactions in ones. Five's argument starts making more and more sense, which fires up the inner critic in the one, which reminds them that they have their own mental failings, and all of the ways that they've misinterpreted things has caused them to behave wrongly. This will push ones further into disintegration at four as they move towards that unhealthy space of starting to kind of listen to their inner critic and take on that energy. This can cause depression and self-doubt in the one. Both types also struggle to change their thoughts and beliefs, and both types struggle to respect people who disagree with them. Fives might see ones as foolish, clinging to outdated models of thought, and the ones will see fives as preoccupied with irrelevant information and focusing on unimportant details. With their respect for one another and boundaries, the two might settle into sort of a reptilian coldness towards each other, observing and noting each other, but not really engaging in a functional relationship. Ones who are a little bit more aggressive might spend a lot of time trying to perfect what they see as flaws in the five, trying to change their ideals or belief systems. If the one is particularly social, they might push the five to go out more than they want to. If the one has different concerns that the five just doesn't find important, the one might, in an effort to perfect or right the wrongs of the five, might push the five a little bit too hard. In the five, if they're not really willing to stand up for themselves or really stand in their own power, they might start to try to placate the one by trying to be all these different things that the one wants them to be, which can cause them to become really scattered and unfocused as they move towards their disintegration point of seven. So there you have it. That is type fives in relationships with ones, eights, and nines. So if you are a one, eight, and a nine, or a five, and you're in relationship with one of these numbers, and it's just, you sense that there's something that's not really working, there's a block there, whether this is a romantic relationship or a business partnership or just a friendship, you sense that there's some sort of block that's preventing you guys from really seeing one another and working well together, I would love to sit down and have a conversation with you about that. So shoot me an email at wade@9leaders.com. We will set up some time just to sit and chat about what's your Enneagram type, what's their Enneagram type, how can we help to remove some barriers that might be in your way towards getting your goals. So shoot me an email if you're interested in that, and you don't just have to be a 1, 8, 9, or 5. You can be any of those numbers, and I would love to have those conversations with you as well. Also, we are open for taking on larger group classes. We have finished the most recent one that we were teaching at Discovery Church. I'm back from my trip, so we have time to teach those larger group classes. So again, if you are interested in that, maybe you run a business that wants to have this information taught there. Maybe you run a church that you'd like this information taught to your staff or to your people. Maybe you just lead a small group and you want this curriculum taught at your small group. That's great as well. Shoot me an email again, wade@9leaders.com, and we will talk about how we can possibly make that happen. So one last piece of housekeeping that's fairly important. This is why I put it at the end. So I've been doing a podcast every day and a live stream every day, and we're going to continue doing that until we get through all nine types. So we still have the rest of five to go. We're going to do the rest of seven and then all of six. So once we finish all of six, we're going to move to a less frequent model. So many of you guys know that I left my full-time job at a church a couple months ago to really focus on doing this. And I focused on it, and it was really fun, and I think I built something really cool, and I think we built a pretty fun community. But it's extremely time-consuming, and I at some point need to put some food on the table, so I have accepted another full-time job at a church, so that's going to take a little bit more time from this project. So like I said, all the way through the rest of the numbers, we're going to do every day other than weekends until we hit the end of six, and then we'll probably go towards a once a week to maybe three times a week model, so that I'm not overtaxing myself and I don't run out of content too quickly. Once we hit the end of the types, I'm going to be kind of fumbling to find content. So, and then lastly, if you really enjoy this coming out every single day and you want me to continue doing that and you're willing to help me pay my bills to do that, you can support the podcast by clicking the link in the podcast description and it should take you to some support. I'm also going to be building a Patreon page. I haven't had time to really get that done yet, but there will be some cool different projects and different add-ons available for folks who choose to support what we are doing here. So thank you guys so much for listening, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.